Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the New Media Show. My name is Todd Cochran, and got a great show today. Lots of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about exciting news from New Media Expo and what's going on over there. We got Rick Calvert with us. Of course, I got my co-host this morning with me, Mr. Rob Greenley. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Good morning, Rick. It's great to be here talking about podcasting and kind of conferences. I'm really excited to talk about this subject, you know, with the events of last week and other things. I think it's a great time to talk about this stuff.
But, of course, you know, it's Rob, it just seems like it was yesterday we were in Dallas, and we'll have some, obviously, as Rob said, we'll have some comments about the event that happened last week in Dallas. But more importantly, right now is the new news. And Rick, you've been on the show before, but give everyone a 411 on you, and let's talk about the New Media Expo and the announcement that you made last week.
Well, we just announced last week, I think, New Media Expo will be co-located with NAB. I think I told you guys the last time I was on the show that we were working on it, and being that NAB is an association, it's been around for a long time. They move very slowly, and it only took us 8 months to finally get it done. But yeah, we're excited. We're going to be with NAB next year. We're going to have about 100,000 people there. So it'll definitely be the biggest thing that's ever happened in the new media world. And we are thrilled. I just had our kickoff call with them yesterday talking about how we can do some stuff together. Some other friends of ours whose names I can't mention yet, sounds like they're going to be in the grand lobby live streaming the whole time. I think New Media is going to have a gigantic presence at NAB this year.
Well, you know, the one thing I love about New Media is it doesn't matter where you're at, you can do this show live. And you know what? Were you at the beach or where are you at?
Well, I was at the airport. I had to drop off my wife's best friend. She flew down for the Nine Inch Nails concert the night before last, and she went home today. So yeah, I'm at if you can see in the background there, San Diego Harbor, right across from the airport.
Oh, so absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey, Rob, we got to figure out a way to do that. Do the show from the beach, man.
I think this is definitely a first for the New Media Show to have a guest calling from, you know, right next to the water.
Yeah. All
oh, famous last words. All you need is a cell phone.
Bandwidth. Yes.
Well, that's cool. So, you know, one thing that, you know, that I was curious about far as the event goes, and you had shared with me a little bit already when I talked to you on the phone, was the venue, far as where the exhibitors and where, you know, where basically people can come and hang out. That's going to be nestled really kind of in and amongst the NAB area. You're going to have your own area, correct? And then how's it going to work for the sessions and all the stuff that goes along with a great conference?
Yep. So we will have our own kind of show within a show. So New Media Expo will have our own area in the North Hall of the Las Vegas Convention Center for Todd, you and Rob have both been there before for CES and NAB. It's gigantic. You know, the scale of things, it's a couple of miles to walk from one end of the convention center to the other. So it's important to know we're in the North Hall of the Convention Center, which is right off the Grand Lobby. That's where the exhibits will be. And then the conference sessions and the keynotes, and maybe we'll break at some other news today, Todd, if you're up for that. Other programs that we have will be running at the what's now called the Westgate Resorts Hotel and Casino. It used to be the Las Vegas Hilton, same building, which there's this little kind of alleyway that runs between the Las Vegas Convention Center and the Westgate, and you can just walk right across that alley, and that's where all the, as I said, all the keynotes and all the breakout sessions will be right there. And good for us, they're completely renovating that whole conference space, which is nice now, but it'll all be brand new by the time we get there.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yep. So there will be a little bit of a walk to get across the concourse to get into Westgate, but it's not that bad. Far. Yeah, it's just you know, 5 minutes maybe if once you come out the north. Yeah.
Yes.
I think we're suffering from bandwidth issues, Rick.
Can you guys hear me all right? Sorry about that.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
So it's not quite perfect, but yes, you can do it from anywhere.
You know, but just the simple fact that you're, you know, for me, you know, and I don't think people understand completely how big this show is. And if, you know, it, and I talk about it with my audience about CES, but it's like 43 football fields, you know, and I'm not kidding. If you take central, upper and lower, you take, south, upper and lower, you take central, you take North Hall, you take all the other combined stuff that's in between, it's like 43 football fields of stuff. And, you know, you guys are going to be nestled in there.
Put in perspective, CES and NAB have single booths that are bigger than New Media Expo.
Right.
Yeah. I think the Sony booth at NAB is bigger than our entire show.
Yeah, the Blackmagic, or like the folks from BMD, Blackmagic Design, their booth is like, I mean, like a football field by itself.
That booth, I think, is probably 150 feet wide by about 500 feet long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's 500 people in it at all times.
Jam-packed. And this is the thing. This is the exciting part. And again, you know, you guys know this, but the gear that the podcasters and the web video producers are going to see there, every imaginable camera, every imaginable microphone, all of the editing software, all of the mixing boards and, you know, sound effects and gear you can imagine. I mean, you can geek out for literally days while you're there.
And not to mention all the live streaming vendors are there. You know, Livestream will be there. New Tech will be there. You'll have Wirecast will be there. Everybody will be there.
I saw 10 other live streaming vendors at NAB this year that I'd never heard of before.
Right.
So, yeah. And all these people now coming out with switchers. There's a guy I'm going to meet with next week up in LA. I was telling you, Todd, he's got a portable 4-channel switcher, cameras, microphone, whole thing for $5,000 with the Wi-Fi. So you just go set up wherever you want, and those guys will be in NAB. They'll be in the New Media Expo section. And there's so many pieces of gear there. Not to mention, and I think this is important too for everybody to realize, all of the radio networks are there. All of the television networks are there. All the major movie studios are there. The people that I think are our peers, right? They're doing things on a. They have a different platform for the way they distribute the content, but it's still just content. And I think that is one of the things I've been working on for so long to make this happen, so people can see New Media in that context, that it belongs on that same stage. You know, Leo Laporte said that several times at our show. Norm said that last year at our show. And I just can't wait for April to come.
You know, with one thing I've noticed at NAB is 5 years ago, when I would go and talk to these guys, they had a radio mentality, hardcore, you know, and everything came with a radio price. But over the past 5 years, as more and more of us, and I think what's really critical is as content creators, like me and Rob and the other podcasters start mixing into these crowds and going into booths and saying, "Hey, I'm Tony. I'm a one man band. I do a show. What do you have for me?" And if that company doesn't have something for that person in the price range that they need to, they're going to take note of that. And the more people that stop in there say, "Hey, I'm Tony, I'm George, I'm Susie, I'm Ann," they're going to go, "Whoa, we had 25 people stop in here in the booth and they were looking for this. And we know we're not reaching that market. We're giving away sales. Why don't we do something?" So this is, for me, that's because there are going to be booths people are going to go into that. Let's just be honest. They're going to have some sticker shock on some of the cost of some of the gear. But at the same point, I will say from 5 years ago to now, that has greatly changed. You're going to walk in and you're going to find all the way from, you know, something that everyone can afford to like, oh my God, stratosphere costs. So, you know, I think it's good for them to see us in mass and say, hey, I'm a podcaster. I'm an independent content creator. And they're going to go.
Todd, it's such a great point. When they do see us in mass, and I think we'll bring 5,000 of us this year to that show, based just on the early, we haven't opened registration yet. We just allowed people who've been to the show to register this week. It was kind of top secret. That ended yesterday. Monday we'll open registration to the general public. Just based on that initial response, I think we're going to bring 5,000 people ourselves. And when we are going to those booths and saying, hey, do you make a mic for me? And do you make this kind of camera for me? Or do you make this kind of editing software for me? It is going to get their attention and they're going to realize how many of us there are and that they need to be making products for us. And there are a lot of them who do now, but I guarantee there'll be more of them who do after April of next year.
Right. Rob, what's your...
Rick,
go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, the exhibition side, is it going to be all blended together? I don't know, with NAB and the New Media Expo, and are the sessions going to be kind of just an add-on track to the NAB, or yeah, how is it going to be kind of blended together? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so we will have our own section in the North Hall, so all of our people will be together in the exhibits.
Okay.
And we've already had several NAB exhibitors come to us and say, we want a booth in your section too. We're going to take an extra booth over there. And then the sessions, yes, not an additional track, an additional 8 tracks with Inside NAB. So the same conference that we've done every year will be happening at NAB. So and all of our stuff will be together in one place. So it'll be convenient if you don't want to go wander over to the greater show. You don't have to. All of it will kind of be in one place, so it's easy for people to get around and see the people that they know. And by the way, Todd, your other point, as many of our attendees will be going to those exhibitors' booths, NAB attendees will be coming into our booths and seeing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's going to create a whole new generation of new media content creators, people who are professional broadcasters who now say, wow, maybe I should start podcasting. Maybe I should get serious about what we do with video on the web. I think we're going to see an explosion based on that.
So, Rick, are you expecting then to – whoops, wrong camera. Are you expecting then, because that you're going to have the amount of area you're going to have in your vendor area, are you going to have traditional 10x10 booths, or is it all going to be kiosk, or how is that layout going to be for your area?
We're going to do a little both. So we'll have traditional booths, and then we'll also have little kiosks for people who, you know, either can't afford a booth or just don't need that much space. So we'll have a little bit of both. And we're going to be doing, like we've done in the past, but we'll take that to the next level. We'll have stages where people are podcasting, either recording or live streaming live, and people are doing video live this year as well.
So as soon as those, you guys got the exhibitor stuff ready, make sure you send me a contract.
I will have the contract on Monday. So we just had that call, like I said, yesterday, and they sent us the first version, and we've got to make a couple changes. But I'll have it on Monday, and I'll have one for Rob and Norm on Tuesday.
I think you're going to sell out. That's why I want to make sure I get my spot early. So so here's, you know, I think this is, for me, this is great news. Now, I guess maybe we can talk about this on this show. I kind of hinted at it when I was talking with some folks last week, but we are going to bring the podcast awards to the NAB show. We're going to switch. We're not going to do the nominations in the fall like we normally do. We're going to start nominations I think we're going to start on January 15th. And we'll go through the 6-week process, and then we'll have the awards at the New Media Expo. So let's talk about, I'm here about this venue and where the keynotes and everything are going to be and where the awards are going to be. How, what's the skinny there?
So that's another one of the things that I'm excited about. The venue, the NAB has this ballroom set up at the Westgate, again, where all of our conference stuff will be, where they host their keynotes. And it's the room is set for 3,000 people. And the stage is unbelievable. It's like going to the Emmys. And we will have the most amazing.
Oh, you chopped out. You chopped out, Rick, right when you said amazing, it cut out.
There you go. There you go. You're okay. Back.
So what I was saying is it's going to be the most amazing setup we've ever had with the AV, the video screens, the decoration. I mean, it's going to look like a real award show that you would watch on TV. And I think that's appropriate for the 10th annual podcast awards. It will be a big deal. And again, we talked with NAB about that yesterday, and they are really, really excited. They are going to promote the heck out of it to their audience. Guy riding by on a motorcycle there. Sorry.
It's okay.
That's what you get doing on-site. But they're gonna promote it to their audience. We will have a ton of media there covering the podcast awards this time. So if you're a podcaster that's nominated, you definitely want to be there to try to get some media attention for your show. It's going to be a big deal. And we are really, really excited about that. So I can't, like I said, I just can't wait for April to get here and people to kind of see how big it is and what a gigantic leap it is. Yeah. We're proud of everything we've done before, but this is just an entirely different level.
Yeah, Rick, I really agree with you. I think this move has been a long time coming, and I think the timing of it is absolutely perfect. I mean, from what I'm seeing, the broadcast guys are really starting to pay attention to podcasting, and I think this is terrific timing. And I did want to ask about the attendee side and tickets and all that stuff, and what kind of packages, I don't know if they've been all pulled together yet, or, you know, so if an attendee wants to go to both the NAB and the New Media Expo, can they buy just one ticket, or do they have to buy two, or can you explain some of that?
Yep, good question. So one ticket, attendees coming to New Media Expo, they'll register on our site just like they always have, but the registration where you pick up your badge, it'll just be one place, and the NAB registration is right next to New Media Expo at the entire show. So you can pick up your badge and go right into New Media Expo. If you have a New Media Expo badge, you can go in anywhere you want in NAB to any of the exhibits. If you have an NAB badge, you can go to anywhere you want in New Media Expo with an NAB badge. So basically it'll be it's the same reg counter. You'll go up, you'll give them your ID, they'll print out your badge. If you're an NMX attendee, it'll say NAB and NMX on it. And if you're not an NMX attendee, it'll just say NAB on it. Exhibits only, some people might like this. NAB actually allows people to register for exhibits if you have a code, but pretty much anybody can get a code. Exhibits only are free. So we're doing the same thing. You can start off getting exhibits only for free. As you get closer to show, it goes up. I think their exhibits only is $150 as you get closer to the show.
Right.
We'll do the same thing. But starting on Monday, you can get a content creator pass and see all the sessions at New Media Expo for $297. And then what we call our VIP pass. That's the every session, every party, you know, some kind of what we call backstage access to meet with some of the superstars that'll be there. I think that's going to be $497 starting Monday. So, it's going to be integrated. The experience will feel like one show.
So I don't think we've shared the actual event date yet. It's April, right?
Yeah, it's let me actually see if I'm ready to put this
April
up.
13 through 16.
Okay.
So again, that's another part that, you know, if we had our way, we'd be over the weekend. This is a Monday through Thursday. So some content creator is going to have to take off work and that sort of thing to come. But, I mean, it is so worth it. Anybody that's never been to NAB before, it's going to blow your mind.
And you know,
get
I think,
there in scope of what it is.
And I think we need to focus on that a little bit too. You can spend 2 days, two full 8 hour days, walking at a normal kind of like half speed, not regular walking, but kind of like a show floor walking speed, and you won't cover the whole thing. I mean, it's that big, people. I mean, you know, when I would go for covering for like CES,
well, it's comparable to CES, right?
Right.
I mean, it's about the same scale.
We have 25 people on the ground and three teams that are going through, of course, getting interviews and stuff. So we're stopping on a regular basis, but the number of vendors, and some vendors you go, let me stop and talk. And
there's some stuff there, for example, that's not relevant to us. It's, you know, gigantic equipment for broadcasting a television network that costs, you know, a couple $1 million.
Right.
Not relevant to us. But again, on the other end of CES, there's a ton of stuff there that's not relevant to us.
Right.
I hear so many bloggers who go to CES and say, oh, it's just a bunch of iPhone cases.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's what CES is about. It's consumer electronics, and you go buy iPhone cases at a Best Buy, and that's who's shopping at CES. At NAB, they're all broadcasters.
Yep.
So much more of the gear at NAB is geared towards us than ever was at CES. So there's the stuff that you could buy now.
Yep.
That you can afford. There's the stuff that you dream of buying. You know, Todd, some people want the gear you have.
Right.
They can get that at NAB.
That's right.
And then there's the gear you dream about that you want to get as you're upgrading your stuff. All of that's at NAB.
I think the important thing, though, too, is just the relationships you're going to make with the vendors. Walk in, say, hey, I'm so-and-so. Here's my card. You know, this is what I do. They're going to put you in your stack and scan you. You're on their mailing list. Boom, boom, boom. For people that do cover gear that just are looking for, you know, sometimes I go to the show and I have a list of like five things I'm looking for, and I'll go into a booth and I'll say, oh, you got this and this. And I'm like, no, but I know that, you know, my competitor over, and they'll point you if they don't have the product, they'll say, or here maybe is an alternative. I think I told this on the last show. I went last 5 years ago looking for the type of graphics that ESPN uses. So I want all the nice roll-ins. Now, that is not cheap. The price figure on that was six figures 5 years ago. So, of course, it's like, okay, well, I found it, but, in my pipe dream. But 5 years later, that product was down in the $3,000 range. Now, some people are going to say that's totally crazy, but if you see ESPN graphics, $3,000 to get that type of roll-ins and stuff, that's pretty impressive to get it at three. Now, I bet you if I go back this year, the price is going to be even further down because the market, just like anywhere else, is changing. So you may not find exactly what you want at the show this year, but you're going to put a bug in that vendor's ear and gonna say, man, we had 50 people walking
Todd,
in here.
You just touched on something really important, and you said it earlier too, but I'm sure there are other content creators who want the same thing you do,
right?
And if 500 of you go into that booth and say, you know, I really want that, it's just too expensive, that guy's going to think about figuring out a way to develop a package for you that he can bring to the show next year.
Yeah, and it's probably smart to go into that booth, look around, you know, evaluate and ask for what you want. Just ask, do you have this and this? Because I have a need to do this and this, you know.
And so the other stuff, we mentioned editing software and the obviously mics and cameras and switchers and stuff. But soundproofing, green screen technology, you mentioned visual effects. I mean, I don't know. There's other stuff I'm leaving off. But everything you can imagine to create the content we create, it's there.
And software solutions that are on mobile. And, you know, for example, one of the things I was looking at 2 years ago was the ability to automate a Twitter stream to put it on the live video feed. And there was a couple of vendors there. And you know, they were shocked to see me because I knew the guys. And they're like, yep. What are you doing at this show? And I'm like, well, I'm here looking for solutions. And yeah, so you guys got my solution. What's your price? They told me, I said, doesn't work for me. Well, they had priced their product for NAB. And here was the crazy thing. After the show, they emailed me and said, hey, Todd, we know the pricing probably scared you, but we have a deal. And they actually put together a package for me that fit my price line. They had it overpriced because that's what those guys would pay.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and so another important thing. Sorry, Rob, go ahead.
I just said it's just business. They think that there's a market at a higher price.
So. Right. And I'm there looking for what they want and I want to buy it. And I'm like, you're too high. And they went home and like, oh, man, I want his money. You know, and they emailed me and they didn't give me a different tiered service, but I will say that you will find companies want, you know, especially on the software side, you know, companies want to move product no matter what.
So another important thing, a lot of these exhibitors have theaters in their booths where they're doing training at the show.
Right. That's true.
On their editing software the whole show.
Yeah.
And there's another video editing software company I'm forgetting. They got a gigantic booth.
Oh, Creative's there. Not only that, the audio side too. You can go, the guy that develops, the guy that is at building Adobe Edition, you can talk to him.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And again, they're there to educate people. So you can go into any one of those booths. They'll walk you through exactly how to use the gear, the software, or whatever. You can learn so much in those 4 days. And I would definitely recommend, if you haven't been there before, try to stay all 4 days. Todd, you know you're worn out by the end of the show. But there's so much information there. If you're there to work, there's no way you can see everything before you're done.
Yeah, it's a must go to event, and with you guys being, you know, and it even makes it even more, you know, it's just now I kill two birds with one stone, you know. It really, to me, and I'm thinking to myself, man, right, I'm gonna have to bring more people because I know the volume of traffic, and you know, it's just I know how it's gonna be. You know, there'll be times. Especially, Rick, I guess I'll give you a plug here. The exhibitors are going to be 10 deep at times. There's going to be 10 people waiting to talk to you. And if you don't have enough people in the booth, they're going to leave because they've got a huge show to see. So it's important that if you're going to have a booth at the event, that you have enough people to answer people's questions, because you're 100, 120,000 people are walking through that building. And there's about 3,000 with you guys. There'll be like 3,100 vendors, maybe. So, you know, you just do the math there from a volume, and people are going to, like I said, they're going to be focused. They're going to be looking for specific stuff. And if you're a vendor, you could be 10 deep.
Yeah, and I think that the other big thing about this too is that I believe this show has the potential to bring the whole podcasting space together more. Because the NAB conference has definitely had a history of bringing in talent, right? And talent from a broadcasting perspective, you know, actors, celebrities, those kind of things. And a lot of those folks now are doing podcasts. So
right.
they want to improve their shows just like, I mean, really anybody else. So I think that's the opportunity here, is to bring those comedy podcasters and to bring those folks that are kind of in special genres in the podcasting space that don't ever go to an event. So I think this event may be more justifiable. And I think you, now Rick, I'm sure you're going to be able to get much higher level kind of panelists and speakers and things like that to come to this event, you know, as opposed to in the past.
Yeah, absolutely true. It's another good point, Rob. There are people who are traditional broadcasters, and traditional celebrities who are also in the new media space, and they might not think to come to New Media Expo.
Right.
But with this relationship now with NAB, it really makes sense. And think about like YouTube, for example. There's somebody we've always wanted to have there in a significant way, and they've only had a booth at New Media Expo one time, and they called us like a couple of weeks before the show and said, hey, we got some money we got to spend. Would you guys like it? And we're like, yeah. But they didn't even send any people. They just sent a guy who set up a video screen that played on a loop for the 3 days, and that was it. Well, last year at NAB, I met the top guy from YouTube on a panel, and there were multiple other people there from YouTube as well that we can network with.
Yep.
And I mean, they do want to talk to us, but you have to understand, for a lot of those businesses, the scale of people that they need to talk to make it pay off for them is just much higher.
Yep.
And now we're at that scale. So they can talk to content creators, new media content creators. They can talk to people from affiliates all over the country, from network affiliates to the actual networks and the film studios and marketing people that are there from all over the place, the radio broadcasters from all over the place. I mean, now it's worth their time to be there and answer all of those questions. And the opportunities that podcasters and, again, bloggers and web TV creators are going to get out of the show are phenomenal. The people you're going to meet there are phenomenal.
And also, you know, you need to, you know, from going to these big shows, my planning for going to an event like this doesn't start the week before. I start planning like in January, and I sometimes I'll reach out to vendors that are going to be at the show in advance to set an appointment time where they'll actually sit down with me one-on-one in a private meeting room and take 15 minutes and talk about concerns or things that I want to, you know, what I'm looking for and features. And they start making those appointments very early, you know, and if you're, especially if you're a content creator that even covers anything whatsoever to do with that space, they're going to want to talk, you know, have you come in the booth and look at their product and cover it from a coverage standpoint. And I don't think, you know, that's definitely only a certain segment of the folks that are going to come to new media. But at the same time, I think you have to realize that companies that come to this event, this is their biggest show of the year. And, you know, their marketing budget might be, you know, 75% is this show. So, you know, they're definitely there to talk to people and show off new products and make announcements. And it's going to be, you know, we will be unlike other vendors. I will make sure that we have an announcement to make the week of NAB because it's a time to get amazing exposure. And guess who's there? The press. So if they pick up on our press release so we'll get some people that'll come and talk to us that would never ever cover us any other way. And I think Rick too, what you said about the celebrities is true. You may be walking down an aisle and like, whoa, there's, and then, you know, it's, you know, they usually have handlers, but they're definitely, a lot of celebrities will be there.
But also not just celebrities, but, oh, there's the head of content creator relations at YouTube.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Or from AOL or Yahoo or CBS.
Or what's the app that the Clear folks have, iHeartRadio? Their iHeartRadio booth was 100x100. You know, so the iHeartRadio. So it's not just – it's the people that have the apps too. They'll be there. I'm sure Stitcher and all those folks will have.
Yeah, it's going to be all sectors of the space that exist today, because there are a lot of big broadcasters that are podcasters, and they certainly are part of this community.
Yeah.
ScreenFlow, who's had a small booth at our show for several years, they have like a 50x50 booth at NAB with every imaginable, you know, product iteration that they have there. It's hard to describe how big it is and how comprehensive it is until you see it in person. You guys know because you've been there. I'm over the top. I mean, I said it in the email that I sent out last week. I've been working on this for 8 years to make this happen. And I said the day we started New Media Expo that it's the NAB of the future. I mean, that's been our goal. And you mentioned the press, Todd. This year, we will be the biggest news of NAB. The fact that new media content creators are here and this co-location is happening. So the press will be there looking to do stories on new media specifically. Right. And smart content creators will try to take advantage of that, right?
Yep.
Be there, be ready to do interviews, have a press kit, and be ready to talk to people.
And, you know, and sometimes it's, again, it's the vendors and all that stuff aside, it's one of the reasons I go to some of these big shows is I make connections that I would never, ever have the chance to do otherwise. You know, it's like the iHeartRadio folks. I walked in the iHeartRadio booth, told the lady who I was. She went off and grabbed the lead of iHeartRadio. We had a discussion, you know, and took my information. And now every once in a while, I'll, you know, ping him an email. You know, from a business aspect, it's, you know, you're not going to get that. You can't call iHeartRadio and meet the director. It doesn't happen, you know, that. So, but that show does.
By the way, another thing Rob mentioned that's so important is the diversity of content creators you'll see there.
Yeah.
Which I know is important to both of you and something that I've been very mindful about from the beginning. It's easy to get the marketers to come to your show because they want to market themselves. But to get people who are doing fiction podcasts or comedy podcasts or, you know, anything not related to marketing are harder. And when you go to NAB, the content creators there, they're in sports. They're in news. They're in politics. They're in religious broadcasters. They're everywhere in between. And every one of them has in common that they are all broadcasters. And that's something that, again, I think we as new media need. And funny enough, the original Podcast Expo had that. There was this community. I heard you guys talking about on our show before Podcast Movement saying, oh, will it be like the first Podcast Expo? And it hasn't. It hasn't been. And maybe, you know, this is opportunity again with NAB for us to bring that more diverse group of content creators.
Well, I think, Rick, I'm excited for the future of New Me Expo. It's going to be over the top. I know it is. And but you know, those that are listening and watching this show right now are sitting back. As Rick says, broadcasters, remember that's conclusive of radio and video. So just, you know, get your mindset set there. It's kind of a word that means the same thing at the show, but, it's a 4-day event, but I think that if you go and set the time aside, you are going to walk away from that show with a Rolodex full of, well, actually, you know, a handful of business cards, and you're going to, I think you're going to make connections that you won't make otherwise, any other place. And you're going to meet people that have a completely different perspective than just podcasting, blogging, YouTube video. You're going to see the full gamut of it and understand that this is how big this business really, really is.
Well, I think both sides can learn from each other.
True.
You know? I mean, the big broadcasters have been doing things for years, and the new media creators are doing things a little differently, and I think both sides can learn from each other. So I think this has been a long time coming, and it's exciting that it's happening.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing, Todd, you asked me when I first told you about the news. You said, okay, but how much of the hotel room's going to cost?
Yeah.
Because there's 100,000 people in town. The rooms are going to be sky high.
It scares me.
So I've seen the rates for NAB for 2015 already. I saw 2014's rates, so I knew they were good. We'll have hotel rooms about $100 a night. Now, there'll be $300 a night rooms.
Right.
But I think it was like $109 a night at like Harrah's. And NAB, by the way, has a bus service. That's how big the show is.
Right.
We'll take you from any hotel on the strip to the show.
Yep.
So you can get $100 a night room during NMX and NAB. So, and
for those of you that I tell you a little secret, and I shouldn't tell this because all the hotels will get filled up. But if you're on a budget, I'm serious. If you're on a budget, now staying on the Strip is perfect because you walk out of the hotel room, you jump on a bus, and they take you down to the convention center, and you get off the bus and you walk in. But if you're on a budget, the cheapest rooms in Vegas are downtown. I always stay downtown because I hate being on the Strip, and it's that time space continuum thing. Now, granted, I don't have a bus downtown, but what I save in hotel cost, jumping a cab, $20, like maybe my cab bill is $40 a day, but
Todd, can I comment on that?
Sure.
Because I actually did that once. The taxi service isn't quite as good up there.
That's true.
Yeah. So you can stand on the curb for a long time waiting for a taxi to drive by.
If it's
but it may be different during the NAB conference because there's a lot more people in town. But
I'm just saying, if you want to save, and if you can find a $100 room on the Strip, but it works for NAB, that's great. But I like it just because I get away from, the crowds are a little different. You don't have but hey, I'm from Hawaii. Downtown is where people from Hawaii go. The Plaza is fantastic room prices. Matter of fact,
I've stayed there. Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, the rooms aren't. Matter of fact, you're going to go to the room, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to face plant. You're not going to worry about hanging out in the room. The rooms the room at the Plaza was pretty good, weren't they, Rob?
Yeah, they were great. It's just I couldn't get a taxi to get to where I was needed to go, and you always rent a van, so you can always get downtown whenever you want.
The problem with
get back to the convention center.
The problem is having, if you have a vehicle, that's cool, but parking, unless you get to the show 2 hours before
that's
they open,
too.
You'll never have fine parking.
That's
well, something
thing.
You got to say about hotels in Vegas, first of all, they don't compare to any other hotel in any other city in the world.
Right.
A $50 a night hotel in any other city is a dump.
Right.
A $50 a night hotel in Vegas is pretty nice.
Yeah.
And a $100 a night hotel in Vegas is a nice big room. You rent that in New York City and you're, staying in, I don't know, whatever the worst part of New York City is.
Yeah, I agree. And so, and I guarantee you, if you make your reservations immediately, do not wait at all. That is, especially if you want to stay somewhere really close, make reservations immediately. People are already booked. Hotel rooms, companies have already said, I need 100 rooms. And they've already taken 100 rooms for NAB. So that is, book early.
Well, I'll give you another example, by the way. I'll give you a little bit of behind-the-scenes info, too. So, it took us 8 months to get this done with NAB. And they were trying to make the room for us to fit. At first, we thought we had the meeting room space, and then we didn't. And then we thought, we have the exhibit space, and then we didn't. And then we were looking at going to the Mirage and actually having our show at the Mirage and then people busing back and forth. And, it wasn't our first choice. We'd be with NAB, but we really wouldn't be with NAB. But when we're looking at the space at the Mirage, which is a really nice conference center, I never even knew was there, turns out that half of that space is rented by Sony during NAB for other meetings they have going on.
That's right.
And this, just including this gigantic booth that they have, they've also got 15 meeting rooms and two big ballrooms over at the Mirage during NAB.
Yep.
And that's one example. I only know that one because I was looking at the Mirage space. There's meetings like that set up in hotels all over town from other vendors at NAB.
Every suite in Vegas is already sold out. Every suite is already taken. Because the same thing, like I said, the Sonys and the Panasonics and the JVCs of the world, they have a huge, a huge presence there. So, and they have their VIP rooms and, I understand completely. I think it's going to be great. Rob, are you excited?
Yeah, no, I'm excited to be there. I'm really curious to hear who's going to be on panels and who's going to be keynoting and all that stuff. That's the part that's really going to be interesting.
So, we're going to open up speaker submissions next week. Another good point. So yep. People can start sending in their submissions to speak, but I guarantee we'll have the strongest lineup of speakers we've had ever this year. So
where do you think have you picked someone on the new media track yet or on the podcasting track? Have you got a person to manage that yet, or is that still pending?
It's still pending, but I have a couple of other folks since I talked to you last, and I don't want to say anything.
Yep.
To kind of jinx it. Maybe next week I'll have some news on that.
Okay, cool. Yep. Cannot wait. This is going to be fantastic. Rob, any final questions before we cut Rick loose this morning?
No, I'm just really excited. So let's show the date again. And
it's April 13th through the 16th. Yeah. At the Las Vegas Convention Center.
Convention Center, yep. Yeah.
So you guys can find information at nmxlive.com, nmxlive.com. And so registration will open on Monday, you said, Rick, right?
Yes, sir. We'll send it. You'll be an email in your inbox on Monday, and Reg will open.
So, yeah, make sure as soon as you guys get your... your affiliate links and stuff up, make sure you have your folks email us. We definitely want to get that up as soon as possible. But yeah, I'm jazzed, and I'm really happy for your team, and look forward to being part of the event. I really do. And of course, again, bringing the podcast awards, shifting a little bit for the 10th annual, and we may have some more announcements on that here soon too. So we'll keep everyone advised, but I think it's going to be a great show.
Well, the podcast awards, I think it's more likely that all those award winners will, go to the event and get their award. And it's on just like Rick said, it's on an amazing stage. So you're going to be able to really, really play that up a lot more than I think in the past.
Todd's going to have to put his tux on this year.
Yeah, I think so.
I know, exactly.
And here's the thing, too. It's about that stage. They have the CEOs of the largest companies in America that are on that stage doing keynotes.
Yeah.
So that's, they probably have $1 million worth of gear in that room alone to put on those or more. Oh, yeah. That's just, to them, that's like, it's just a rounding error,
Yeah. By the way, I may have mentioned this the last time I was on the show because we did the lounge at NAB this year, but, the chairman of the FCC did a keynote with the chairman of NAB at the show this year in April. And he said to them, look, you guys, if you're not doing new media in the next 5 years, you're going to be out of business. And don't look to us, the FCC, to regulate you into being competitive, because we're not going to do it. So if you want to compete, you better start embracing the internet and new media right now. And everybody who was there said, and I didn't get to see it, I read the reports after, they said just the air went out of the room from the traditional broadcasters that were there. And, I heard the news after it happened, and I'm sitting there in the booth going, yes, that's exactly, we couldn't have paid that guy to bring that message here. So, again, just the timing of what's happening it's really exciting. I think the time is right. As you guys know, podcasting is going through this new kind of renaissance right now. Web video is exploding. The timing is really, really great. So I'm excited for us. Obviously, we've been working hard on it. But for all of us new media content creators, I'm excited for because this is the stage we deserve to be on. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think clearly it's the go-to event for the industry, and I think we're going to support it 100%. So it's and myself. So,
well, I'm excited. Rob's excited. This audience should be excited, and beg, borrow, or steal to save enough money, and to be able to take enough time off. Where if that means taking one less vacation day at Christmas, I'm going to tell you guys, you're going to want to go to this event. And if you can't stay the whole time, come for 3 days or, do whatever you can. You're going to want to come. So, Rick, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
Thanks for having me, you guys. I apologize for the background noise. I know the wind's kicking up now, and I'm seeing you know, girls walking by in their bikinis, people walking their dogs.
You should have shared with us. So,
yeah, turn the camera around so we can know.
Well, it's just a guy watching his dog, walking his dog here now. Here comes a couple of joggers. Anyway.
All right, Rick. Thanks so much. Awesome. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Okay. Take care, Rick. Thanks.
Cheers.
Wow, that wind got bad. For those of you that are on the show, I know that that's going to be painful after that, especially when it goes through editing.
Yeah. Well, it was great to get all of the background story on that whole thing.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting event.
Yeah.
Well, should we shift gears?
We can shift gears a little bit. I think it's a more of an evolution. You know, we're talking about the New Media Expo, and then we just had our exposure to another podcasting event, the Podcast Movement, back in Dallas. Both Todd and I were back at that event. Todd had a couple of sessions, and I had one, and it was an interesting event. I think for a first year event, it was organized very well, I have to say. I mean, I thought I was really impressed by, you know, Dan and Gary and how they pulled that whole event together, really in a fairly short period of time, and it was really professionally run. I was really impressed with the facilities, and how the show was produced. I think that there's a big future for that show. I don't know what you think, Todd.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, and I. The layout for me, and you know, if they can grow the show double the size next year, I hope they can still keep the kind of the feel. You know, the best night of the whole event was Friday night, in my opinion. The Friday night event where there was a big social, and maybe I'm saying this out of pure business-like, but they had the vendors in a ballroom, not in a ballroom, but we were right in like the central concourse area. And they had some bars set up, portable bars, and people could come in, some tables and stuff, and people could come around a lot. And that room filled up. It was full. And for me, it was, you know, I could sit right there at the booth and talk with folks and chit-chat about what we do and catch up with people that I hadn't seen in a while. It really was a great kickoff evening event that was, in my opinion, absolutely perfect. The way they had us, you know, my biggest challenge with, you know, not eating and not to bust on Rick at all. And it'll be the problem that we'll have at NAB, but because of the additional traffic from all the NAB attendees, is that oftentimes the vendors, and I pay a lot of money to go to those events and have a table, the vendors will be in one area and the attendees will be in the other. And often that migration doesn't, you know, you don't get the traffic. And the traffic is key for me, and to go and be able to meet people and tell them about a product and answer questions and sometimes even say, you did that and they didn't know. For me, to support an event like that, I need the volume coming through. And now we wave the flag and say, hey, we're here, we're supporting. But at the end of the day, it's about generating revenue, at least from a vendor standpoint. So I think the vendor area and how that all they set up was great. And it had a nice homey feel. Now the House of Blues event on Saturday, at about 9, the volume went up to a point where I left. I think these, organizers still haven't quite figured out that we want to be able to talk. Yeah. And we had to start yelling again at that, Saturday night event.
Well, one of the challenges, you know, I went to that event as well, is that the more people you get into the facility, the louder it gets. It True. Wasn't so much that the music was so loud. It's just, that's just the nature of that kind of stuff. And I guess it's also an acoustics thing too, in a facility like that. But it, you know, you can be hoarse after you spend a few hours in that. And that's not helpful, especially if you have a session the next day you know, it kind of dampens your kind of, your ability to communicate to other people, which is so important, you know, at an event like that.
So, I think the, you know, from an execution standpoint, they did really, really good. I did have some challenges to some other stuff, but I think there is a, and I think what Rick hit upon it is we need all genres of people at an event. And if that team can understand that there's podcasting beyond marketing, beyond the marketing and entrepreneur crowd, you know, that those audiences, there was, you know, very few comedy podcasters. You know, what do you think the makeup of the crowd at Podcast Movement?
Yeah, I mean, it just, I mean, I think that it was an event that was very singularly focused on just like what you said, Todd, that genre of podcaster. I don't think that that they really had a big cross section of the industry, and I think that's been the weakness of even the New Media Expo.
Right.
I mean, up to this point, is, you know, a lot of people in this space don't know about these events. I mean, I try and share it as much as I can with other podcast networks, and these are significant networks, right? That just don't have people at these events. They don't attend them. I don't know if it's because there's no budgets for it, or they just, half the time, they just aren't even aware of them. So, you know, so we're obviously not reaching the whole community. So I think each of us, you know, that are part of this community need to do our part to spread the word, right? And to let people know that there are, you know, now a couple of events, you know, a couple events that you can go to learn about podcasting and to network with other podcasters. You're not alone out there. But you know, not everybody's gonna go to these events, and that's just the way it is.
And I think if I had any criticism on Podcast Movement, it would be the keynotes. There were several keynotes. One felt like a church sermon. That's, and I know some of that audience that was there really got into that. But to me, it was like, oh my God. Another one.
Well, pun intended, right?
Yeah. And then and it was, man, self-promotion. Let's give a message of, you know, to the, not always the self-promotion stuff. That kind of turned me off a little bit. And I think they'll try to get a handle on that in the event too. But, you know, we had people that were involved in, one lady that was doing a keynote, you know, just had her facts wrong. And she's talking about the future podcasting. And quite frankly, I didn't even know who she was. And number two, you know, she said, made one comment that, you know, 4 out of 10 podcasters make more than $75,000 a year. The Android community was a huge part of the podcasting space. And I'm like, you know, there was just some statements she made. It was obviously, she didn't reach out to any of us that are actually know these numbers. So I think if they refine and don't, I'm not going to take away from what they did at all. They put on a great event, but if they refine who the keynote folks are, and go after some folks in the space that are really cranking things up and doing some things, that they focus on making sure that the sessions are not pitches. And it makes sure people are sharing information instead of, you know, not necessarily selling their book or, you know, because a lot of the stuff turned into that type. And that's the feedback, at least I got. I don't know what you saw, Rob, but.
It definitely was the impression that everybody got. I mean, some of the session keynoters and the booths there, I didn't see any connection to podcasting at all. So. They're motivational speakers, they're selling books and tapes and all this kind of stuff. And the New Media Expo had a little bit of that going on too.
Right.
So I think that, you know, it's the reach for money to pay for the event that oftentimes takes these events down these paths that are not consistent with the goals of the event. And I think, that's always the difficult balance that I think that the organizers have is paying the bills and keeping consistent with the objective of the event.
And, you know, and then we had, I think if they can focus on that, you know, we had some people who were keynoting and they weren't even podcasting anymore. And that was, you know, I was like, huh? He was popular 10 years ago, What is he doing in the space now? And then there was, you know, I think the thing, and I just have to say it, the whole, and you, Rob, you've known a long time. I've really been critical of the marketeers that are, you know, a lot of them are selling services to podcasters. They were podcasters before. Now they're marketeers, and it has me concerned greatly for the future of that audience. I think it's a definitely a specific demographic of audience or specific demographic of pod. And so, you know, I'm sure this will piss some of those guys off, but
it's what it is.
It is.
I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, it's, and we've seen it before. This isn't anything new.
Right.
This back when podcasting started,
yep.
Right? The big hype at the podcast expo and subsequently the kind of the new media podcasting expo had a bunch of podcast consultants, right?
Yep.
They were all trying to generate business for themselves, selling their expertise in helping people create podcasts.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, now we're back into the podcasting hype cycle again somewhat.
Yeah.
And those people are finding a market again and trying to help podcasters podcast. Though, you know, many of them know quite a bit about podcasting and have been successful podcasters themselves. But I do sense that the tone of it has changed to be a little bit more about selling products and services and less being a resource to the community.
Yeah.
And supportive of the community. It's more, I'm just going to support my little group of people that are paying me. And I'm not going to be a resource to the greater community because I'm making, you know, this amount of money and I'm going to show you the check, you know. And I think, you know, we've been skeptical of that for a long time and think that it's a manipulative, you know, tactic that doesn't bring a lot of credibility to the space.
Well, I'm glad you said it that way.
Well, I mean, I think it's not to really bash anybody,
right.
but it does. I mean, and it's not that it's a surprise to anybody because
no,
I mean, everybody at the event was saying the same thing.
Yeah.
That's the perception that it has. And it's not a positive perception.
Yeah.
But it's what it is. And a lot of people get into the space because they want to quit their day jobs and they want to make money and that's what's behind it. And really at the end of the day, that's okay. I mean, I think that there's a place for that in the podcast community. I don't want to exclude anybody from the community.
Neither.
I just think that the event needs to not be so much about that.
And I think, you know, I'm not going to, you know, the organizers did a great job, and their circle of influence and people that they know are definitely in that genre. So yep. They don't have the exposure to the other groups and maybe the contacts. So, you know, they definitely needed to fill spaces. So they went to what they know and, we tried to caution them on that. But, you know, I think they had to fill the spaces with folks that's the contacts they had. So as they move forward into next year, which I'm sure is going to be a great event, I'm sure they're going to take those lessons on board and the feedback from the community. I had jokingly said in a tweet that they should change Podcast Movement to the Podcast Entrepreneur Show. And I did it in a very sarcastic kind of way, but I actually had like 20 people said, yes, that's perfect. And I was like, oh no, that was.
Yeah, what'd you do, Todd?
No.
That's not what you meant. Yeah. No, I get you. And I guess there is a need for that. And
yeah,
I think
there is.
That event tapped into a segment of the podcast community that is a valid segment of the podcast community.
Yeah, they are.
There's no reason why you can't do that, right?
True.
But I think there's a there's a line that an event has to walk, right? And I think that's really what we're talking about here. I mean, we're not trying to bash anybody that wants to make money from podcasting, because
I do
you
it.
And I are in business. Yeah, exactly. Trying to make money from podcasting.
Right.
So, you know, it's not that we're being hypocritical here. That's not my point. But I'm also, you know, we're mindful of certain types of marketing tactics too that can come across as manipulative.
Yeah, I think that's the key word there, is the marketing tactics. Because ultimately what's going to end up happening, and I'm sure I did on the last show. It's like you said, Rob, it's a cycle. About every 3 years, we see this influx of different folks. Only this cycle, it seems that they've upped their game. And it's kind of like the Tony Robbins saying, come to my rally and I will teach you everything you need to know to be successful, and pay me $1,999.
Yeah,
come
exactly.
to my, in that, you know, no, no, that, you know, it's and you leave all hyped and you, well, I'm going to do this. And then you go home and reality. So I'd rather have people have a firm base in reality that you got to create content. Great content consistently. It's hard work. You have to reach your community. There's no secret to podcasting. They're having these, what do they call them? It was the buzzword.
Mastermind?
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to set up a mastermind group. That's the new hot thing. And some of the masterminds are free. And you know, Rob, you and I both have people that we talk with. I have business friends who I trust implicitly. I have a local angel friend here. I have some other bit, and they're in a variety of different communities. And I can use them as sounding boards, and they can use me as sounding boards. And we meet for breakfast, and that is a nice, and it's a nice rounded group, because I think everyone should have one of those. I think that's really important. At the same time, I understand why podcasters want to group up and get information from one another, but I don't pay my friends to be part of a, you know, where we kind of talk with one another. You know, we do that is to share business ideas.
Yep.
So whenever I hear someone say, well, you can pay to join my mastermind group, that's where my stink meter goes off and I have concerns. And not everyone's doing that. Some people have mastermind groups that are free, and maybe it's just a small group in their network. And I think that's great that they, but the thing is, you should have been doing that already. And that's part of your community. You should have already been meeting with those folks and sharing information and so forth. I think that's part of any, and maybe that's just the buzzword that everyone's using at this point is mastermind. And
well, I think most of the quote unquote mastermind groups are paid membership groups. I mean, there's certainly secret or private Facebook groups that exist in the podcasting space that, you know, I've been a part of for a long time, and you know, so there are these kind of subgroups that kind of naturally join together to share information about the podcasting space. But you know, these mastermind groups are typically organized around one leader that is basically a teacher or in this case, and oftentimes, you know, an evangelist of sorts that can inspire people to reach new heights and, you know, and be all that they can be, you know, and that type of stuff has been around for a long time. Just like you said, Tony Robbins is a good example of that, right? He can be inspirational. He can inspire you to make changes in your life and turn your life around and make money and change the way you think about your life and how you go about your business to make yourself more successful. So I think that there is probably some benefit there. But it's not for everyone, and it's going to attract a certain group that really enjoys that kind of stuff.
You know, and we do consulting, you know. But when I do consulting, there's a set outcome from that consulting call or session. You know, there's a goal, there's a challenge, and sometimes it might be a tech support, you know, issue, or it might be, I just need a little help with this.
That's not as exciting as what's going on with this, these communities, though. They're very social communities.
Okay.
You know, they're with, you know, perceived to be kind of more famous people. There's more sizzle around them. They tend to do more social things, engagement, meeting in various places around the country. And so, I mean, it's at a whole nother level than just kind of like a casual community that just occasionally shares information. They're actively socially engaged with each other is what I've noticed.
Well, I guess, like anything else, we'll be here to pick up the pieces if it results in what I predict will happen, because it's happened many times before.
Yeah. And I think that the last time the podcast industry kind of, I mean, I'm not saying this is going to happen again, but you know, if you go back to 2005 and to 2008, we kind of went through this lull, and a lot of those podcast consultants kind of went away, right? They just really weren't around. And a few of them kind of rode their way through that trough. But I think we're certainly in a time now where I don't know that we're going to dip into a trough again. I think that the space may evolve into something closer to broadcast than it has been up till now, and dominated by that community as well. And it's going to be really interesting to see how NAB and the New Media Expo kind of changes our space, because it very well could over the next few years.
But I just, you know, I know the folks from Podcast Movement are going to listen. And I guess if there's, you know, I'm sure they understand my point already. But if there's any takeaway is, you know, just next year, you know, next go around. And I'm sure they're going to address it as be inclusive and reach
sure
out.
That they want to,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
they clearly want to grow a successful event. And I think they put on a successful event.
Yeah,
and
they
have the makings of doing, I think, what the community wants. I mean, it wants a pure podcast event.
Yep.
The New Media Expo is not a pure podcast event.
It's blogging, it's web, TV, and video. It's podcasting. Yeah. It's everything. Yeah.
So I think that both events are, compatible with each other. I think there's a need for both, and I think that they're both generally filling those needs.
You know, and having been there as both a speaker and a vendor, I will say that the audience questions, needs are basically the same, no matter the audience.
Yeah.
You know, we saw some of the same exact questions, to me, some of the things, it's good that they get the exposure because, you know, Robin, you and I have already been around the block long enough to see what, know the answers to many of the questions these folks had. But at the same time, I wasn't so closed mind that I didn't keep my ears open too, to hear, okay, what are you doing? How are you doing that? And I wanted to learn the new stuff that they're doing as well. Mm-hmm. And I think many of the things are really good. It's just a few pieces that make my skin crawl.
One thing that really stood out for me at the Podcast Movement event was just the amount of women that are involved
in
podcasting at that event. I mean, if you think about the past New Media Expo, it's been, you know, like maybe 10% women, probably.
Yep.
At this event, it was like maybe 45, maybe close to 50%.
Yeah, I was taken aback because I was... And not only women that are thinking about doing shows, but them that already have shows in going on. And I was really, I think that was probably the most surprising thing. I don't know if it was 40, it may have been 40, but there were definitely a lot of women there. And it wasn't that they were sidekicking, they were the content creator.
They were doing podcasts. And
right.
From what I could tell, they were doing really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Exciting.
And so I'm really optimistic, and you know, as you know, if you watched our last episode of this, I've been pushing, trying to get more women involved in this space for a long time, because it's half of the potential listening audience out there is women. If we can get more women involved, there's going to be more women listening. And I think that was probably the biggest thing that I saw at that event that was such a positive sign. of what the potential of this medium is getting more women involved. I think it's critical.
So, and again, and I don't want to make Gary and Dan mad. Great, but great job, guys. You know, criticisms aside, you know, it had the feel of a, he really did a really good job of trying to have events where everyone was, you know, there wasn't anything with people. And I know Rick, Las Vegas and New Mini-X is going to be glamorous and cool, but we will not be able to have the type of hangouts and grouping ups like we did at Podcast Movement, because that was a small venue. Everyone was together. Everything was pretty, they had a good schedule laid out morning. I mean, it was packed from morning to, you know, early evening. And I think from a community standpoint, it had more of that feel. And I think in year two, you know, if the crowd diversifies a little bit, you know, we'll probably do some sort of evening event. You know, we'll have something where we'll, you know, maybe rent a bar or something and have people come down and hang out and chit chat and you know, and that, you know, if we know that they're not going to escape off to the strip, and they're going to have the next event in Fort Worth. So, you know, I think there may be a few distractions there, but nothing like would be the distraction in Vegas.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you're talking about two different scales of events too. And
right.
You're talking a very podcast focused event is the Podcast Movement. And then the New Media Expo is the convergence of broadcasting and podcasting. And
right.
I think that's the distinction that I think we're going to see kind of play out here over the next couple of years.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it leads. Yeah. But again, good job to those guys, and they're gonna. As Gary said, hey, this was show one. You know, let's see what happens
in
show two.
Yeah.
And really, that's on any show. It takes one show to kind of get your land legs and to figure out, okay, did this work? Number one, did we break even? You know, did we not have to come out of our pockets? And that is. The main thing, it's they don't want to have to spend a lot of money out of pocket to put this. They want to be able to, and hopefully put, you know, a little cash ahead to be able to do something the next year. I think if they set realistic goals, I think they'll do very well on event two.
Yep.
And we'll be there. I'll go back.
Yeah, I would too if I can. So yeah, I would definitely be there. So
anyway, just to move off that a little bit, and what is going on with my internet this morning?
Seems to be fine for me.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything weird.
Just tried. I was going to put the Podcast Movement webpage up, and it wouldn't load. So I don't know if they've moved it or if it's just sitting here spinning at me. Okay, so let's
see if I can get it up.
Okay, that website loaded. Okay, so it's not my internet. It must be there having an issue.
It's not coming up for me either.
Oh, that's not a good sign. Maybe they're moving it. So let's talk a little bit about SoundCloud. Ads are coming to SoundCloud.
really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, SoundCloud is introducing in-stream ads into its media player. The question is asked, what will this new ad system mean for podcasters or host their shows at SoundCloud? And it's not entirely clear. The initial press releases that they made only referred to the music side of SoundCloud. So I would be highly concerned if I was a podcaster with my media over there.
So did you get the perception that they're going to just put ads in front of everybody's content without permission?
I don't know. I think you have to apply, so maybe they'll ask permission.
Okay.
I
hope so.
Yeah, me too. But we've been down this road before. Oh, can we ask? Can we permission to put ads in your content? Sure. And then the next thing I'm getting is during my live show with another company, I was getting, how should we say it, men function ads and or male testosterone ads and a variety of that type of stuff. And yeah, the last thing I'm not saying that that's the type of advertising they're going to have, but it will invariably, there'll be advertising in there that if they people do opt in or if they do just roll it in, that content creators are not going to be happy with, especially if they are going to be putting it midstream. That could, you know.
Yeah. Well, is it going to be just pre-rolls and post-rolls, which that would be the simplest solution. I also, I'm on the SoundCloud site right now, and it looks like they added email messaging or some sort of a messaging. I'm not exactly sure what the technology is, but being able to send a text message with an embed directly through the SoundCloud website. So it's kind of like what Facebook does, where you can send kind of text messages, not text messages, but just regular messages to other users or externally, it looks like. So, and it's a way for SoundCloud to communicate with their users too, I think, is what the motivation is. It doesn't look like a real robust solution, but it does have notifications around following people that follow you. So they're really diving a little deeper into the whole kind of social networking, kind of messaging, kind of platform, it looks like. I don't see any mention on their website about advertising. So that was just a separate announcement, obviously, that they made.
Yeah. And another thing that popped up this week, and we'll, matter of fact, I'm a little bit worried about my schedule when this, when the gag order drops off, but Adam Carolla has settled his podcast lawsuit. Yeah. And I don't know, Rob, that I'm torn here on that. Of course, we don't know the details of what was settled and what's going to be allowed to be said, but the other suits, my understanding, are continuing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that we'll get some more information on this soon. I think that gag order, like I said, is still in place. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's bad news, but I also don't think it's as good a news as I think everyone would have liked to have heard on that.
Yeah.
So I think that the reality is that it's not really going to impact too much. I mean, other than it's a body blow to the, what's been accomplished is basically putting the patent holder kind of on notice that this isn't going to be as easy as they thought it was going to be.
But it does concern me if Adam has raised $500,000 and he still wasn't able to take this to conclusion. That does concern me that, you know, it took $500,000 and he couldn't get to conclusion.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it was that to take it to conclusion would have been a whole lot more.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. So, you know, I've like to have Mike or even Adam back on after the gag order is off. Right now, I think I've gotten hired for a consulting gig, and I will be maybe out that week of September when that gag order comes off. So I'll work around that and we'll do the best we can to have a show that week, irregardless of my schedule. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. Cause I think it's going to be important to have them on and let them vent once the gag order's off and let them explain exactly what's going on or what happened to the level that they're allowed to make, basically those discussions. Also, one other thing, the folks at Livestream have added the ability to vertical broadcast. So if you way the Livestream thing worked before, you had to turn your phone this way. And what they did is they changed it so that you can turn the phone this way, but you got to maintain a 16:9 aspect ratio. So what they really did is they tricked the phone into staying, you know, you basically hold it up and it still will shoot as if it was like this. So, because most of us hold our phones straight up and down, people were complaining about having to hold their phone this way to live stream. So instead they've done this and they've changed the aspect on the phone. Yeah. So it's on the top and you have controls below it. So I think they've done some tricks there with iOS, and it's, this is something that they announced. It's going to be pretty cool. They've also announced some new hardware, this week as well. They've got some new gear that's in the $5,000 range, but,
yeah, I think, I mean, that's a real cool solution because I agree. I mean, those really tall, thin kind of videos look really weird.
Yeah.
So I think it was really smart of them to have the software do that.
So I think that's all the really big news this week. Since we've been out, Feed Validator was down for a few days. They're back online. That site's become more and more unreliable. One thing that did happen that we didn't get is Stitcher released a new embeddable podcast player. Did you hear about this? That they are now allowing folks to, in the app itself, you can now download and do, it's really like a regular podcast app now. You can actually download media.
Oh, so you can subscribe.
Auto-download? Auto-download, yep. And so that made me go, that's interesting that they've done that. But
consumption of podcasts from the numbers that I see is still 2/3 download and 1/3 streaming.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and streaming is kind of, you know, it's a progressive download, essentially.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, if they want to grow usage, I think... that's just what you have to do.
So, you know, they're the biggest player, at least from an Android perspective, 2.6 or 2.7% of the total. And it's probably bigger than that, but 2.7 is what their total market share is, I think, on the Android side as a whole as compared to iTunes and stuff. So, you know, hey, it's pretty crazy when they're the biggest player as compared to Apple. From an individual app standpoint.
Yeah, and I'll reach out to those guys and maybe we can get them on the show and see, you know, if they can give us an update on all that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be good. But I think that's that kind of wraps everything that I've got. Have you got anything else that's exciting? I know you haven't been home much, so you probably want to. Your wife's probably got a honey-do list, a long honey-do list for you, doesn't she?
It's not too bad. It's not too bad. There's not that much going on here.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, there's always, you know, always stuff, but yeah. It's not. Yeah. Yeah. I stayed busy. Yeah. I was gone for 10 days straight. So, yeah.
Yeah. My wife is like, she said to me, she said, "What's your plan today?" So I get the show morning with Rob. And when I'm done, she's, "Don't worry. I have a list."
She's going to keep you busy, though.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's good. All right. Well, we're right here at the hour 30 mark. So let's get everybody out of here. Hey, folks, do we have a guest for next week, Rob?
I do not have one confirmed right now. I have one. I'm trying to book out into the future here, so I don't have one to announce right now.
Okay.
But it will be interesting. Whoever I bring on.
Oh, okay. Hey, we want you to share the show with your friends and family and friends of and podcasters that you know. You know, everyone was raving about the show at Podcast Movement, so that was some great feedback we got from the folks. Definitely, and I've been telling people even on my regular show to make sure you tell your Android friends, you know, folks that have Androids, how to get a podcast. Beyond Pod is a great app. There's a variety of different apps that they can get. Tell your Android users, hey, you need to be, or listeners, you need to be checking out these podcast stuff on your Android device. And
Podcast One has an Android app too with a lot of really big and good podcasts. So
yeah. Of course, you know, I'll throw that in. Blueberry has a podcast app on Android
too.
Yes,
you do. Yes, you do. Yeah.
So with MyCast, so you can subscribe and make your own playlist of all the shows we have on the network. But I look forward to seeing who we have on next week. And we thanks for being here. You can email Rob or I. It's todd@newmediashow.com. or rob@newmediashow.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. And of course, Rob, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter too. I'm at Rob Greenlee, robgreenlee.com. You're always welcome to send me an email to, you know, rob@newmediashow.com. Any new update on the show template stuff?
I was talking with Angelo on that on Friday, and he actually, can you believe it, put 8 hours in on it. So we're
awesome.
Yeah, we might be close. We had a we did a big programming job for the Young Turks. We built something for them that was special for their basically it was their paid premium system. So
awesome.
That delivered, yeah. And that opened up some time for Angelo to actually do some stuff for me. So hopefully, crossing fingers, next week. But PowerPress 6 is coming too. It's going to come quick. We've got some really cool features coming that I think people are going to be excited about, and some new stuff as well that I took home from Podcast Movement. I'm like, let's add that, and that. And he's like, oh my God, it's going to push it. I'm like, no, get it in there and we'll go. But
hey, Todd, speaking of the Young Turks, you should invite them to come on the show.
Yeah, I see if I can. Let's just say I think they're doing good.
Yeah, they've been an outstanding podcast and new media platform for years now. It'd be great to speak to the folks behind that.
Yeah. All right, folks, everyone, thanks for being here. And we'll see you next Saturday on the New Media Show, or just check us out at newmediashow.com. Everyone take care, or on iTunes. See you next time.
Bye.
Aloha.